Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican, built tough for all situations. Go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget, for all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina, on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake, for all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info.
Now let's get this show started.
What's going on, Facebook Live, YouTube podcast listeners, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, Jay Randall, welcome.
What's up, dude?
How you doing?
Oh, great.
Life's a little busy right now.
I figured as much, and I was like, I told Matt, I was like, I should shoot Jay a text. Let's see if he's jumping in here.
Yeah, well, we added a new kid to the mix, you know. So
I saw that.
This is a little butthead right here.
I saw that. Nice.
Yeah, so I'm keeping him here with me, and that was probably not a good idea at all.
Jay's going to be getting scratched up all evening. Yeah. I like it.
He's like, there's so much stuff in here to screw around with.
Right on, man. What's new, brother? Haven't talked to you in a minute.
Yeah, I don't know. Same old, I guess. You know, just getting the store together and stuff and getting ready to buckle down and get a new job, whatever that may be.
Oh, man. Life problems, yeah, bro.
Pretty much.
I like it. Well, if you guys are tuning in, feel free to hit that share button down in the lower left-hand corner. That's what I'm doing right now. We got Matt Souders in the house, one of our very own, and one of the newest PNF Familia members. Mr. Matt, how you doing, sir?
Up, I am living the dream. What's going on, Jay? I already got a chance. We were talking to Brian before, and I was like, man, I just woke up from a nap like 10 minutes ago, and he was like, yeah, we're just gonna get this started. Don't know what Jay's doing. I was like, or something.
I got like the crappiest laptop. This thing's gotta be like 10 years old too. I should upgrade it. Takes like 3 hours for it to load, you know, boot up.
Oh, you know.
So
it happens.
You know, we're all high tech here, man. I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. That's at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. You know, I'm sitting here in front of I think my laptop's like 6.5 years old with a Amazon Ring Light, and this is the nicest thing I have. Is this Blue Yeti mic that I got off Amazon? That's like, you know.
So, yeah, nice. my room's pretty much a budget setup, but it works.
This is what I'll give you guys a little inside because they don't see it on the final cast with me and Brad. But like I was telling him, I was like, I give that old creepy man vibes off with the basement because it looks great until you look this way and it's the pit of doom. And then this way and it's just random crap. Like it's just, so I just have to be like perfect centered. So you can't see the baby stuff in the corner and like wrong way.
There it's like, all you need is like an echo and like some kind of a water drip in the background and you'd have it covered.
Yeah, I thought about getting like a little like a rat that runs on a string or something behind me.
The occasional, just, you know,
grab some baits and throw it at it. Like, shut up.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, just because we're talking about my weird basement, my wife wanted to get a mannequin from work to sell clothes and stuff.
Sure.
That she still hasn't sold any clothes with. So I had this mannequin that sits in my basement, and I got the great idea of putting a hat on it and then like my like Western hunting setup on it. So I have a backpack and everything on it. And I forgot it was there today. Walked down here. I about died. So like I walked around the corner, didn't turn the light on, and I just saw creepy person. And I was like, nice. Well, this is where I die.
My nice. Drip. Oh man, we got some of the other PNF members in here. We got Armando, Chris, Mr. Hicks.
Mr. Hicks. That guy's a loser.
Yeah, well, he's your co-host, bro. Just saying.
Still a loser. He's been on my coattails my whole life.
Well, let's start with that, man. Let's get some background on you, like where you're from. How you got into fishing and kayak fishing and all that good stuff, man.
So Dayton area, grew up with old Bradley Hicks for like my entire life. Fishing kind of like a lot of people.
Wait a minute. We gotta stop there. Has he always been as awkward as he is in present day?
Used to be worse. It used to be worse.
Wow.
Like, yeah. Yeah. So, it's like I never see it as like awkward Brad or anything, because like he just said in the comments, everyone, Brad said Matt's like my own brother, and it is. I mean, we were together, I think he's 2 or 3 years older than me, but we were always together doing the same stuff all the time, listening to the same screamo hardcore music and getting judged by everyone in the early mid 2000s. And then we got an apartment together, and yeah, he was awkward. And it used to be like just hilarious. Like that's all it was. Like, I didn't think it was awkward. I thought he was just being funny.
Yeah.
And he's still like that. And he just, what's awesome about old Richard Hicks is,
Richard Hicks. That's right.
Richard Hicks. Yeah.
Dick Hicks.
What's great about him is it's not that he's like awkward, like accidentally or on purpose. He doesn't care. Like Jay, I don't care. That's just how it is. He doesn't care. Okay. Like when we go do anything, like, hey man, you want to get something to eat? I don't care. Okay. Well, I'm going to go into Speedway and get something to eat. Okay. All right. Whatever. Cool. That's where we're going. And we just go. So,
I think, this whole show is just going to be changed over to, let's figure out why Brad's so awkward.
Dude, I don't know. It's a mystery, but it works for him because it's funny to be around him because he makes other people awkward. If you don't know him, they'll like sit there and he just won't talk, which is great. And they'll say a question. He'll be like, what's your opinion on this? Oh, I don't care. Yeah. And then you start talking about fishing and he doesn't shut up, which is awesome.
Oh yeah.
Same with me. Yeah. Like, sure. That's how I am now. I go out and I'm like, if we're not talking about fishing, like with you guys, I can cut up, but like people I don't know, it's like, eh. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Brad's in the chat. He says his wife's listening. She said she wants to join the show to talk about how awkward I am. I mean, that's totally fine.
Bring her in.
I'll send her the link right now, dude.
Oh my God. Anybody.
That's the thing too. Like his wife is the sweetest lady. Like,
yeah,
I remember we went out there, like slept on their couch. She made us some awesome cake balls and dude. Like, I'm like, man, why? How did this wonderful woman get stuck with such a weirdo?
I know. I'm thinking, you know, the word short straw comes to mind.
Short straw.
Oh, I thought the same thing. He brings her back to the apartment one time, and I'm like, she's talking. I was like, in my head, I'm like, she's way too nice for him. Like, what's going on? Like, I'm not going to be like, I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to ruin Brad's chances here. And then I found out she is probably the best baker I've ever met.
Oh yeah.
I've been eating like nonstop cookies, snickerdoodles, and I've been munching on a banana nut bread for like 2 weeks. Like I'm on the last slice, so I have to go get more of them now. Like
I remember cake balls.
Yeah, cake balls.
Dude, I've had her cake balls too. She doesn't do the cake balls as much anymore because she's branched out. And I think it was a good step in the right direction because it's fantastic. I haven't had one bad thing yet. So
All right, we got sidetracked. We're not gonna totally kill Hicks.
Oh, way to go to Brad. Let's go.
Keep going.
that'll be a proper after hours show, I think.
Yeah. Let's just ambush him. That's what we should do. Right. An intervention.
I was just gonna say an intervention. Intervention. Get him to come out of his shell. So you're from Ohio. You grew up with Brad. So how did the fishing come into play?
So fishing was, it's kind of like everybody else out there. Not everybody, but a lot of people grew up with my dad going fishing, and he wasn't a huge fisherman. It was just like, hey, I fished with my dad. We're going to go fish. And it would be, I remember we had a giant like catfish set up that he put little live bait on. I catch bluegill on. And it kind of morphed from that into when I was, 11 or 12, I started fishing with a couple of my buddies and his dad had a boat. So we went out and did some youth tournaments and stuff around here, like Caesars Creek, stuff like that.
That's cool.
Yeah. And that was awesome. I learned how to like use a fish finder at a young age. And it was one of the old, you know, like we have the tech now that shows me where the fish and what not is. And it was cool to learn that way and get competitive in it. And then kind of stopped fishing. Not totally, but competitively for a few years living with Brad. Like I'm the one who me and my buddy Abram actually took Brad one time to go bank fishing at night, which was a terrible thing. We almost died like 8 times because we were in Caesars Creek Park trying to go down some sketchy stairs next to the dam where I'm pretty sure we saw like some homeless people or a ghost or something that I don't know. It was just a sketchy night. And we got ran off by like DNR like twice. But anyway, did that and then kind of fell into a kayak when I was in the Marine Corps. I was selling a laptop and it was an Ascend 128. And this dude was like, I'll trade you a kayak for it. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. So I traded a kayak, got it, and been doing it ever since. That was 2015. So
nice, dude. Nice. Yeah. And, shout out to you, man. Thank you for your service. I know you served overseas and all that good stuff, right?
Yeah. Yes. Fun times. I'll never give it or look back on it and never regret it. My knees and my back probably do, but I don't. Sure. It was fun.
Right on, man. Right on. So you get into the kayak after you get back home, man, and it's just been kind of downhill ever since, it seems like.
Oh, yeah, it was. I kind of fell into it, and I used the kayak when I was down there. Like any downtime I had, there was a little river that ran. I want to say it was the New River because that runs all the way down. But it ran through like urban Jacksonville to where I dump in. And it was just like my getaway time. Like that's what fishing became, to where I could de-stress, not worry about anything else. My mind kind of blanked out, which was awesome because, you know, there's obviously with all the good stuff in the military, there's always, you know, the negative stuff. So I was able to get away from that. And then me and my buddy Jordan would go out and we fish in his little Sun Dolphin. It's like the little two-man boats, also known as the big kayak. I'm pretty sure the new 133X or like the Unlimited or bigger than that boat was.
Yeah.
Get chased by gators and all that fun crap. And I got stories of that too. But anyway, it was just a way to get away. And then, yeah, it was downhill. Like I got home, I got out and then sold that kayak, got into a Topwater 106, was in that for like, I don't know, 8 months, got into a Big Fish 120, was in that for like 8 months. And then I got in the Bonafide RS-117. I've been in that since.
Very similar to Brad Hicks. He doesn't keep a boat longer than 6 months. Just saying.
Well, I mean, you're 100% right. I've got really comfortable in the RS, but I got that, I think I got that summer of last year, late summer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
my P127 is in the state and I go pick it up like Monday or Tuesday. So that's another like 9 month boat. So
yeah. Well, I know you're running the XI3 on your RS117, which is,
oh yeah,
it's pretty slick, man, the way you got that set up. You know, I floated in one of those for a while and I loved it for just fishing the river here, you know. Are you going to throw the motor on the P127?
I haven't decided yet. I've been talking to Shane a little bit from the Bass Thumbs podcast.
Old Lemon.
I was talking to him because he runs the saltwater on it. But I was telling Brad, and I said it on like our show a couple weeks ago, I was like, Maddie's getting a little fatty, so Maddie needs to pedal. And so I'm probably going to pedal for a while. And then I might put a new port on it because I think that would be...
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The tits for the river, because I could hit a log and not like die. So
yeah. Yeah, the Newport, man, it's slick, man. Obviously, you guys got a podcast coming out next week, Thursday, and we kind of talked about some favorite things from this year so far, and I hopped on there for a minute, and that was definitely one of my highlights of the year so far. Like, I love that thing, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looks awesome. But, yeah, I don't know yet. The P127 is such a – it's my first pedal boat. So okay. I don't know, maybe I'll just fall in love with pedaling and not want a motor until we go back to Dale Hollow and I want to die after going so far. But
yeah, that'll happen. Yeah.
So
dude, I did Kentucky Lake in a Coosa HD and paddling was like 4 miles out and 4 miles back. And, it was so much fun.
No. Oh, that's the word for it, is fun. I remember last year at Dale Hollow, I was in the Big Fish and I had a Minn Kota on the rear of it, and I like rigged up my foot controls and I felt all fancy, and then Jimmy was pedaling and he came out, he's like, yeah, I gotta go find somebody's boat with a motor, I'm dying, because he was going around video everybody.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that sucks, maybe I don't want that.
Yeah, old Jimmy, now he's got the Newport now too. He just got one. Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm running the Torquedo.
No, 403.
The OG, but it works good. Are you going to run a rock guard on there since you're going to be in rivers?
Probably. I'm keeping the RS, so I'm not actually – there's the difference between me and Brad. Brad gets a kayak, falls in love with it, and a new kayak comes out, and he just sells it and gets the new one. I'm keeping the RS because the P127 is a big old girl. So I might take it on the river one time and be like, I don't want to do this no more. I just want to drag the RS and I'll just keep, and that'll become the river boat. It's already banged up anyway. And it's got a keel guard on it and it's meant for the river. I mean, originally that's what it's meant for. So I might end up just doing that and having two boats and be a little bougie, but I don't know yet. We'll find out.
I got two boats, but I only use one.
I know. The other like, one. I'm hitting the other one. Risk is on its side most of the time, and I'm using the Frontier.
I got a brand new Unlimited in my garage that I got last fall, and it hasn't even touched the water. But
Lord,
that's going to change come hunting season, though. That'll be
the other one will be set up for fishing.
Yeah,
I was literally going to say, "It's like, well, you have a perfect duck blind boat then," because.
Yeah, I mean, and it's nice too because if I got somebody that comes up and I need a spare boat, like Jay, maybe I'll let them use it. But at least I got that option here. You know what I mean? But yeah, that was the sole purpose why I picked up two. The other one didn't come in till like almost the end of duck season. So I was just like, ah, and it sat in the garage. So, but it is nice to have that. Like, I don't have to strip down my fishing kayak to go out kayak hunting. You know what I mean? So
that's, yeah, that's super nice. That's another thing the RS might end up just being as a duck blind boat.
Okay.
Cause where I duck hunt here, I don't, there's a couple lakes I could duck hunt and put a motor on, but I probably get shot because they have blinds all over the place and I'll just get shot and I'll die. And I'd rather not get like three shot picked it out of my butt or anything.
Yeah, right.
But there's one lake, it's no motor, it's small. No one duck hunts it except for me, like me and my buddy, like four other dudes. And I mean, when I went last year, we limited out accidentally on six wood ducks a pop. And nice. We did that in an hour and a half. They just were, oh, there were so many of them. So, but that's a no motor lake and no electric motor, like period. You can't have anything. So the RS might be a good little option for that.
Sure.
Just duck blind it up and then hit some different spots.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, that's the thing. You just duck hunt or you deer hunt too?
I deer hunt too. Yeah, I deer hunt too. There's actually two spots this year I'm hunting. I've got cam set up where I have to kayak to get to them. So that's where the P127 will probably come in play, just because the RS, while it's a great boat and has a higher weight capacity, my luck, I'd get like the record typical or something and sink and die. So I don't want that to even be a possibility. So yeah, that's where, and I don't want to paddle with a big old stud ski on the back. So that's going to be fun seeing how I can rig that out to get, cause I saddle hunt. So I can get in with just really a backpack pretty much and wear my saddle and PFD and then, get back out and drag the deer out. So let's hope that goes well. We'll see. It's my first year kayak hunting for deer. So
nice. Nice. No, it's cool, man. It's something that a lot of people are getting into, especially around public land. You know, it's pretty slick.
Oh yeah. I mean, Ohio, we're known. We've got some great deer. We just have some we don't have a ton of public. Like a lot of your really good areas is all private. So everyone fights for every square inch of public land. So if I can find like two islands I know of in a public park, I'm not saying anything because people will start looking. No one hunts it. One other guy did last year, but he's like, yeah, I got my deer. You can go this year. I won't go back. So I'm pretty much going to have the whole island to myself. And nice. I've already got some pretty good picks, so I'm pumped.
That's weird because I know when I looked on Onyx, it seemed like there was a decent amount of public land in Ohio, especially around like your guys' area or like a little south, like towards Cincinnati and like Cowan Lake and all that.
Yeah. So if you look down there, there's a lot of public land, but there are a ton of hunters and a lot of people come from all the surrounding states to hunt Ohio too. Hmm. So they're hunting all that public land. I'm real traditional when it comes to hunting, to where if I see a stand, I won't set up near the stand. He's put his time in. I'm not going to come up on his stuff. And, you know, I don't want to blow out a deer that he's been catching cams on. Just, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's what you'll go out there. And I mean, last year it took me, I went down to, way down south, and, it's a pretty big forest we have here that stretches like eight counties. And it took me 45 minutes to get somewhere where I couldn't see a stand. So
right on.
Yeah.
Right on. I like it. I like it. Jay, you been putting in some time on them boots, scouting areas out down in Tennessee, or are you just been casually walking through the woods?
I mean, no, actually there's a place I went mountain biking earlier today and you can actually hunt there. And I saw a tiny little deer. All I could think was, oh my god, they are tiny here. I was like, oh
man. yeah you know, I can tell I hunted mean... when I was in North Carolina, they just looked like small dogs or big dogs. Like they were tiny, so small.
I know. And I think even when I was a Bri, like we saw some deer like crossing the road once, and they're all super tiny. But what I am discovering, though, is the ticks are horrible out here. Oh, I had a tick in me today. Like when I came home, I took a shower and everything, and then I was like scratching my leg, and I was like, "Oh shit! Oh, oops, let it slip." But and then I was like totally worried because I was like, "Is this a Lone Star tick? Like, what is this thing? It was so damn tiny," and I was able to pull it out with its head. But I mean, I'd use a phone to like pull, like to be able to see it, to be able to pull it out. It was so tiny.
Oh,
is
that small?
So, dude, it's like, yeah. But there's tons of ticks out here, man. So that's the only thing that's kind of freaking me out. So I guess I just got to like take it seriously, you know?
So next month I'll probably skip stopping at your place on the way to
Iowa. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're not in the house, you know, but it was just weird. It's like, I didn't really go in. I was on the trails and just ended up with one on me, you know?
I mean, where did you pull that tick off? Was it in your house?
No. Well, I mean, it was on me. But yeah, when I discovered it, yeah, I was like, you know, and I was like, oh, this sucks. I was like, great. And then I'm like, I like meat. I don't want to stop eating meat. I hope this is one of
them. That's what I was going to ask. Is that the tick that like makes you allergic to eat meat?
Yeah. And I don't even know if that's what it was, because it didn't have the white speck on it, but it was like tiny and red and kind of had the same body style. That because I immediately started looking stuff up. I was like, oh great. I was like, that's all I need, you know. And then I'm reading up on like how it affects everybody. I'm like, I don't need this. I was like, I still got meat in the freezer. I was like, I'm gonna have to give it away.
I was gonna say, I literally told my wife two years ago, I want to say, is whenever they came out and people started like talking about it. I told her, I was like, if I get bit by a tick and I can't eat meat, just know that I'm not gonna be around much longer. I'm not living my life like that.
I know. Right. Turn you a rabbit.
Yeah, I'm about to say I can't do that. You know? I eat like an orange. I eat one of those little cuties like every now and then, and that's the extent of my veggies. So like,
yeah, I mean it's tick season for sure, man. Guys, gals out there, you know, if you're walking through tall grass to get your boat put in the, or your kayak put in the water, you know, be conscious of it, and definitely check yourself every time you get back home. I know we talked to Aaron Steiger, and I know he's still having some underlying issues from Lyme's disease and stuff like that. And I think I just saw Dwayne Wally had a real bad tick bite and was at home recouping.
Yeah, so. You gotta. I mean, I circled it with a permanent marker, so I know where I got bit. So if there's like a red dot that starts showing up, you know, if you catch it early though, you'll be fine, from what I hear and read. So, I mean, if it ends up happening, of course, if it's the other one, they said within 2 to 6 hours you would already know, because you would start to have the side effects like from eating like meat. And it's not all kinds of meat either. It could be, some people it's just red meat, you know, some people it's all meat. So I mean, you could still be eating fish and chicken, but you can't like do hoofed animals or whatever. And
yeah, that's not the life for me.
No.
So if you fall out of your chair, we should call 911 and send them to your house, is what you're saying.
Pretty much.
You know, I think just for the rest of this podcast, just get some bacon, just eat it, just so we know you're not
like, you know, we're joking about it now, but I was like having a little inner monologue like earlier going,
Oh man. Well, one thing I wanted to touch on with you tonight, Matt, is like, I know you're a huge JDM guy, and like, I just don't understand it. I don't. So like, I mean, I know there's guys out there that like, that's all they care about, you know? So,
yeah,
I mean, for those that may not know, who are watching or listening, like, what is JDM and why?
So JDM stands for Japanese domestic market. And it's basically, think of like your American tackle companies like Strike King, Lewes, and all that, but all Japanese. So Biwa, Megabass, Shimano, Daiwa, which those are here too, but there's a whole nother rabbit hole of JDM, Shimano, and Daiwa stuff over in Japan. But I don't know why. So here's like, bait wise, like for instance, This is Biwa. They sell, you can get that in the US too, but I got these from across the pond. And it's just, you know, a regular old crawl style trailer bait thing. And it looks like Strike King could make this and whatnot. And there's nothing necessarily better about this bait other than I personally feel like I catch more fish when I use JDM stuff. The action seems to be a little bit better. The plastics they use tend to be a little bit softer, so you get more action out of it. Reel wise, all day. Shimano's JDM market makes Shimano's American market look bad. It's their reels just are smooth. Very little maintenance goes into them. They last forever. They outcast a lot
is
of
it
my
the,
domestic.
Is it the noise they make? The zzzz.
I'm talking about the MGLs. DCs have been, so DCs, when they hit the US market, I wasn't like, oh my God, it's got a computer chip in it. Cause I've had them for, like, I bought my first Metanium for like $800 on eBay from Japan right when I got back from deployment. That reel, if anyone is listening, watching from Jacksonville, North Carolina, if you go right down the road from the Osprey Club where the river is, if you go straight down, it's about 30 feet, it's still there. On a St. Croix Legend rod. If you want to get it, feel free. There's gators there. You'll die, but you can try.
You should send Jiggin with Jordan down there. Send him a letter and be like, hey, man, go get that.
No, dude, I remember that happened. It was my first JDM reel and everything, and I text my buddy who's he's in the Marine Corps, Marine Recon. So basically they scuba, fall out of perfectly good airplanes and all that fun crap. And I was like, hey man, you got your scuba stuff? He's like, I mean, yeah. It's like, can you come get a rod and reel for me? And he's like, where? And I sent him, he's like, no, there's gators there. I'm not doing that. I was like, well, we see gators all the time. We're in the field and we go through swamps and stuff. He's like, that's different. We're getting paid to do that. Yeah. I'm not doing this for you for free. I was like, I'll pay you. He's like, yeah, it's not worth it. I was like, whatever, man. So yeah, it's still there. I guarantee you it probably still works. I've dropped a rod here with a reel on it for about 2 months and went back and found it during hunting season at the same lake we were talking about. And I found it and it still works. And it's sitting on my desk over here waiting for a rod to get put on it. It's awesome.
This past weekend, dude, I was out fishing and dragging a shaky head, and like I'm like, I must have weeds or something hung up on there. So I start reeling up and I'm like, I got some a-holes line, you know, they left like a freaking mile long piece of line. So I grab it off my shaky head, I start pulling it, and then I see a bobber, and then I'm like, there must be like a stick on the other end of this, right? No, it was a St. Croix medium light, like spinning rod and reel combo. And I was just like, I wiped it down like it, and it's probably was in there for a couple of weeks, you know, because you could see like where the thread wraps on the eye guides and stuff was like kind of turning that foggy white. I gave it to my nephew. I was like, you know,
dude, the water provides. It does. It takes away, but it provides. So,
No, I mean, it's like, you know, I got some mega bass vision 110s and 110 plus twos and stuff like that. And those are $25 jerk baits. And I'm like, do they really make that big of a difference? You know?
Yes, they do.
And they do. They do. I'm not disagreeing, but, I don't know, man. I've just never understood buying like the $800 reels and all that crap.
So I've bought one of those. Brad in the comments is saying showed the cover scat. All my cover scats are in my boat right now, so I can't show you the cover scat, but the cover scat is the perfect example of JDM baits. It literally looks like a piece of poop, looks like goose poop that you'd find, but oh my God, that thing catches so many fish for no reason other than it's just, it is the way it is. And it's so good. But the $800 reels, like I bought one, and then all my other stuff, eBay is a great tool. We did a show on it, I think a month and a half ago, YG Japan. I get my reels through him, directly from Tokyo. Dude ships to the US in like 2 days, which is magical to me. And, you get them at a crazy discount. So like the $800 reel you're talking about, the Antares DC, I've got one of those. I didn't pay $100 for it. I paid like three, because you just got to find the deals.
Sure.
And when you go over there, they're not that expensive either. I've got two buddies who are stationed in Oki right now that basically go out to the tackle shops in Okinawa, send me pictures, be like, hey, do you want anything? And then they ship it back to me. So
do you ever ask your buddies if they see Mr. Miyagi over there?
I did one time, and it was during like one of the hottest weeks they had, and they had like a tsunami come through. And I was like, did you see Mr. Miyagi fighting the tsunami off? And they both said some choice things to me, and it was a bad conversation. Sorry. They had to deal with it.
had to throw the Karate Kid reference in there. Why not?
So is that like an import price? I mean, so I'm kind of thinking of like, well, like how bikes go, right? So if you go, if you buy a bike from big box store, you're not getting the good bike. You're getting like the okay welds, you know, the heavier metals and all that. And then you go to, you know, a bike shop and you're getting like premium. Is there something to that?
You know? Yeah. So like, for instance, just because I've got 8 reels sitting over here, not doing anything. This is the coveted US reel that makes noise, the Corrado DC. If you look, Brad, for example, he got the Scorpion MGL, which is that red reel he was posting that he's fallen in love with. They make the Scorpion DC, which is the Corrado body. It's identical to this, same braking system, the whole nine, but the bot or the whole thing just feels premium, like you said. So it's, as I just break the reel, but it feels the bearings are nicer, it's smoother, the gearing's nicer. And I don't know if it's like, maybe that plays into it. And maybe I've always thought maybe it's just in my head, like, oh, this is JDM. Mm-hmm. It's a nicer product. But if you really tear them down, like you get, like with Shimano, like the technology in this reel that came and hit the US 2 years ago came out in 2000. The DCI-4 came out, I think, in 2015 in Japan. So We're getting tech way later than they are. So when I go JDM market and I buy the brand new Scorpion DC, the 21 Scorpion DC, that's the latest and greatest in Shimano's tech at that time. So you're basically jumping the line and waiting for it to hit the US.
Well, I remember when we did that podcast with the dude from Doomsday Tackle, you know, he was talking about that, like, we're always a couple years behind what they're fishing over in Asia, Japan, all that stuff. Like they have a lot of newer technology compared to what we have over here. It's almost like Asia, Japan, whatever, is like the test market, and then it finally comes to the States almost. And that's because all, like, you know, I remember in that podcast, he's like basically like Abu Garcia, like Shimano, Daiwa, like that stuff's almost all made in the same facilities, so to speak.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you look at it, yeah, it's kind of crazy. They just all have different molds and throw different parts and pieces and stuff in there. But, you know, I could see that, like, you know, the, because I've seen some of the Mega Bass style jerk baits that were, you hold them side by side and the profile of the body looks the same, but just the overall make of them seems better, the Mega Bass versus like the blanks or something that you can get in the States. Oh, we got Richie all fired up. He said JDM swim baits
all day.
Don't get that. Richie started on swim baits. We'll be here for the next 4 hours.
Yeah, I mean, you're right when you talk about the blanks, because you can buy Vision 110 blanks because they lost the U.S. patent a couple years ago. So their blanks have flooded the market.
Sure.
Which isn't, I mean, a bad thing, because you can, like, Dark Corner Custom Baits, he's the one who paints, like, for instance, as I just stab myself in the finger with this. He painted this for me, and he paints a lot of my other bigger swim baits, and they're just blanks off of something else. But, you know, he paints some awesome designs that rival Mega Bass in quality and look. But, yeah, if you take that blank and you put it next to a Mega Bass blank, you can tell there's still something different about it, to where it could be the same blank, but it's maybe it's how it was molded, or how it was how the ball bearings are put into it, or something along those lines. It just makes it feel better or more
different. Yeah. No, it's crazy, man. Like, I know a lot of guys that they just get super jazzed up and excited about all this JDM stuff. And I've never completely understood it. I've read a lot about it and, you know, heard some guys talk about it. But
yeah, know, once I'm you make the dive, that's when you it get all goes like downhill. That's, oh, it is. Like, I'm not as bad with tackle as I used to be. But I used to like not buy anything from Bass Pro or Cabela's or anywhere unless I had to have it. I would just order from Tackle Warehouse or the Asian fishing portal, order baits from there and stuff, and just get nothing but JDM stuff.
Sure.
Which is weird because if you look at though those countries out east where all the Asian countries, they like bass is looked as an invasive species there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like in Japan, there's only three lakes you're legally allowed to fish for bass. If you catch them in any other waterway, you're supposed to take them out like we do with Asian carp and kill them, which is crazy to me because Megabass, Shimano, Daiwa, all those companies are there, but they're really geared there. They're geared toward trout and salt and stuff like that. That's why most of Shimano's reels can do fresh and salt water because that's sure. what they're geared for. So,
well, I mean, this will make you cry. That's pretty much what they do up in Idaho with the smallmouth, you know, oh. like it's an invasive species and they just don't care. They just pull them out.
I hate it. I know they do that in Washington too. I was talking to Brad about it.
Yeah, it's the same thing with walleyes too, man. Like they were, I forget what show it was or that I was watching, and they were like throwing walleyes on the bank, and they're like, "That's a trash fish," and the dude was like, "What are you talking about? What is wrong with you? We are going to eat one of those. It is going to change your mind." And then the dude was like, "That is not a trash fish. Oh my God."
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't, I mean, it's like that with carp for us here, like especially Asian carp. Like I've caught Asian carp and I can't bring myself, like I know they're super invasive, but I can't bring myself to like, just like that one video that was going around last year. This dude was just grabbing it and throwing it at a rock, just speared it off a rock. I can't bring myself to do that, but like, I hate them. But then you learn like all these trout states, that's where it's at. It's the trout states. They kill smallmouth and all this stuff, and it just pisses me off.
Brad said walleye are overrated fight wise. And I'm not disagreeing with you on that. Unless it's a big one, like if it's a big one, you'll get some head shakes and some digs. But like if it's like, you know, 22 or under, it's like reeling in a wet sock. But it tastes like filet mignon. So I mean,
That's one of the only fish I'll actually eat. So I'm not a huge fish guy, but I'll eat walleye and crappie and then deep fried cat. I hate catching catfish, but if it catches it and deep fries it, then I'll eat it. But
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say carp isn't so bad. I've had carp before.
I don't know.
It's not. I mean, I don't know. Like you know, Illinois, they had, you know, bow fishing's huge, you know, obviously for the carp, so. But they have a festival every year, and they like show everybody how to fillet them and do all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bad. I mean, I was the same way too, and I'm like, wait, this is a white flaky fish. Like, this is interesting. Yeah. You know, if it's done right by people who know what they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks easy to the guy who's doing it, you know, so.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.
So there's two comments, and I want to get to this one first, because I always see Hicks post this everywhere. I love deep-fried smallmouth. He's just trying to pick fights and get people all riled up. But it's
just troll.
But story for you. Story time with Uncle Brian here. Scott, the guy we started Paddle and Fin with, he was up in Canada, and his father-in-law, they would take a yearly trip up there, and he was like, he asked the guide, "Can I keep a smallmouth for the shore lunch? I've never had one, want to try it?" You know, and the guy's like, "Yes." They were fishing this lake that was abundantly full with smallmouth, and he's like, "Yes, please keep one, keep two, whatever, and you know, I'll fry it up." And he's like, you know, his father-in-law's like, "Ah, oh, that tastes like talking about like, what are you doing, this and that. So what he did is he had the guide put a piece of smallmouth and a piece of walleye on the plate, gave it to his father-in-law, you know, and the father-in-law the whole time's like, I don't want to taste that garbage smallmouth, don't put that on my plate, it's oily and nasty and blah 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 blah. So he eats it and he said the smallmouth piece tasted better than the walleye piece. So I think if you don't know, like, and I'm not trying to tell people to go out and slaughter a bunch of smallies, but yeah,
please don't do that. Please.
Every time Brad brings that up, I always think about that story because I don't think I've ever had smallmouth. But if you're in a place like Idaho, Canada, like where you're in a lake that there's thousands upon millions of freaking smallmouth and you keep one, that's your right. Right. You know, so
I mean, just saying. I'm not going to argue that it's your right to do. I mean, that's part of, we can go on and on about what I think is ODNR needs to change some laws, but that's your right. If you don't do it, it's kind of like deer, right? So if you don't hunt deer, they'll overpopulate. Same with smallmouth, yeah. They'll overpopulate and they'll start damaging the ecosystem instead of keeping it healthy. So if you want to eat them, that's great. I just don't want to see it or hear about it.
Yeah.
Just because I look at it as nothing but a sport fish.
Sure, sure. Which, I mean, in most respects, most guys do, you know, and especially when you look at how long it takes a smallmouth to get to, like I saw Brad in there, you know, again, trolling, you know, he caught some 20s and like, I think it's something like 15, 18 years to get to 20 inches for a smallmouth.
It takes a hot minute. And if they hit, you can usually tell when you see a 20 incher, they're usually older fish. Like that 19 and a half I caught earlier this year was an old fish. Like it, I let it go and probably the next day it spawned and then just floated down the river and got eaten by something because it was about to go. So
Jimmy's in the chat and he said, I changed his life with fried walleye. And it's like, anytime he talks about coming up here, he's like, can we go to that fish fry again, bro? Get some walleye. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, sure. Like no problem. But, no, it's always interesting, man. Like, what was it, last week or something on the kayak bass fishing page? Like, guys were freaking out because some guy kept a few largemouth, and then like it started this whole thread of guys like posting pictures of largemouth that they kept, you know. And I've never been the one. Like, I don't judge. Like, if you pay your license and you keep your specific limit, like. All about it, dude. Like, that's up to you. But
yeah,
who am I to judge? And you don't know that person's situation either, dude. That could be like feeding his family for a week, you know? Like, you just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I won't disagree, and I won't, like, in that sense, I won't judge. What I hate is when I'm on the river or something and I see a group, like a family group, cast netting smallmouth.
Yeah.
That's what like bugs me. And yes, Brad, I know harvesting is good for fisheries. That doesn't mean I have to like it.
So I got a perfect proof of this right here. And it's interesting, right? Like, Jay has fished my home lake. Brad's fished it. A bunch of other people, man. Like, the fishery I live on here is absolutely phenomenal. But I remember we're going back probably 12, 13 years, maybe even more. The first time I ever fished out here, it was just the whole lake was 12 to 14 inch bass. You couldn't find a bass over 14 inches, like, to save your life. Mm-hmm. And so what they did is they put a harvest on 12 to 14 inch bass for like 2 years to kind of thin it out. And like the explanation I kind of got was, you got to kind of thin the herd so the bigger ones can get bigger and the smaller ones can grow because they're all just, you know, not being able to forage, so to speak. But it was super interesting. And now you go out and I could find 12 to 14 inch fish for sure up shallow in the grass, but I can also go out and catch 10 fish over 18 inches in like 3 hours, bro. Like, it's pretty fun,
bro. Yeah, so it sounds style.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some truth to that because guys who I've got a buddy who his grandma has a pond on her farm, and he's like, yeah, there's just a bunch of like 12 inch fish. And I was like, because you have too many fish in there. He's like, well, what do you mean? I was like, well, if there's a bunch of 12 inch fish, those 12 inch fish bass are super, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Like situational, how they grow. So if they have, if there's a ton of fish, they'll stay smaller so they can stay peppy and they can keep up with bait fish. So they can, because they're fighting 40,000 other fish for
sure.
You know, the 20,000 forage species are in there. And I literally told him this 3 or 4 years ago, take some of those 12 inches. He's like, well, I'm not going to eat them. I was like, yeah, just go release them in the river or something. You know, I mean, you got the river runs through your property. Just transfer some fish. And he did. And he can go out there now and he can catch 20s because he has less fish. I mean, he did a whole summer, every 12 to 14 inch fish he caught, he transferred or put it in a buddy's lake or something.
Sure.
And his fish size has gone up in just 2 years. So
James Wright in the chat says, saw similar practice with the halibut up in Alaska. You need those big females to produce big fish. And then Jimmy said, too many of the same size class are a problem. Harvesting also helps weed out the fish that don't have the big fish genetics. Hence the reason why the Texas Lunker program is very effective.
That program is awesome. For those listening and watching, if you haven't read up on that, go read up on the Lunker program in Texas. They basically, like, if you catch, and Jimmy, comment if I'm wrong, it's been a while since I read it, but if you catch a fish over 10 pounds, they DNR asks you to bring it to them.
Yeah.
And then they breed that fish to keep those big fish genetics, and they put it back into the lakes. And that's awesome. Like, that's how you make a trophy body of water.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
No, it's super cool, man, especially nowadays, you know, with the advancements in technology and being able to, like, do that. You know what I mean? It's made some, I mean, just look at Texas, dude. It's between them and Florida, you know, it's the amount of giant bass between those two, and even California, right? Because I think bass are an invasive species in California, right?
I'm not 100% sure. I think if they were, or they, if they still are, people might not look at them like that anymore, just because the possible world records come out of there like almost three times. It's always some technicality of why it doesn't win, and it goes back to that dude out in Japan. But I think the nation record's from Clear Lake for the US, so
Brad says, I need to read up on fish genetics. I don't really know how it works. And James Wright, like, chimed in before I could say it, but you know, I'm pretty sure Brad may have never had sex, but yes, that's when mommy fish and daddy fish, you know, get together and he squirts his juice on her eggs, you know, that's how you reproduce, Brad. That's where the genetics come from.
Well, I think people are overlooking too that, like, you know, reproduction is incredibly hindered in situations. I mean, because bass obviously will cannibalize their own, you know, their own, you know, fish, or, you know, same types, whatever, you know, bass and all that. So, and that goes with anything. So there's got to be, I mean, a lot of those culling limits have, you know, scientific, you know, research behind it. So, I mean, you know, and I mean, and it's not always the same everywhere. I mean, I would assume in some of the bigger, you know, more like trophy lakes, you're going to see that more, and maybe there's just a blanket over other lakes. But I mean, you know, the DNRs, they're looking at that stuff too. I mean, and I know it hurts to see that. And I see the same things too, man. I mean, people start laying out largemouth bass and you see a smallmouth, and, you know, people just start going berserk. You know, and,
dude, it hurts. It does. I just see it, and I, like, my heart hurts. Like, it's not, it's like how people who don't like to hunt, when I kill a deer, it's, I feel like that's how they feel. And I can, that's how they feel. I feel bad for them because that sucks. And for me, I'm like, I just smoked this deer at 30 yards with a 300, you know, grain broadhead and just explode. I'm just pumped because I killed it.
Yeah.
Because I have meat, and they're the same way I am with largemouth. Like, if I see someone with a largemouth stringer, I'm just like, I just hate you.
Well, I mean,
I was going to say, hold on 1 second. I was gonna, to that point with the deer, nobody ever talks about when the DNR has those rifle weekends when it's just people who are licensed to help the DNR thin the herd. So that's now publicized and people don't realize that's going on. But if there aren't enough hunters, that is going on too. So,
yep.
I mean, it's going to happen regardless.
We could go down a whole rabbit. All so fired up because the county I grew up in Illinois used to be what was it, number 6 on the Boone and Crockett list, and I don't remember if that was nationwide or statewide. I think statewide it was like number 3, but they started building more houses. Deer had nowhere to go. Insurance companies got pissed off from all the claims of hitting deer, and you know, so they started sharpshooter programs in this BSCWD crap, and just, you know, completely annihilated the herd, and it's bad.
And they opened up hunting and forest reserves too.
Yeah, well, and James Wright's chiming in, he said nobody's hitting a smallie with their Honda either. Well, you know,
yeah, that's not my fault that you have a small car that would get decimated by a deer.
But like, in the same respect, right? Like, you get excited about the meat. The guy keeping the smallmouth or the largemouth could be just getting just as excited as you shooting a deer.
And,
you know?
Oh, I know. And they are. I just I don't know. It just hurts deep down. But what you're talking about, that county, I want to say I listened to that on the Meat Eater podcast like 6 months ago. They were talking about, they did a tangent like we've done 6 times on the show already.
Sure.
And they just went down a rabbit hole and they started talking about that, to where the sharpshooter programs and everything. And I was like, man, they're like, yeah, it like decimated the herd and whatnot.
Well, and what was jacked up about that, and it's still jacked up, is like, you know, they were killing piles of deer. Well, why didn't you extend the season or open it to the hunters? Mm-hmm. Now you're bringing in income. Hunters are being able to harvest the meat, feed their families. Instead, you know, the state or the county's paying some yahoo to drink a 12 pack of Bush and sit out there with a freaking long range rifle and over a bait pile, which spreads CWD. So, which is even stupider, you know? So you're basically replicating what is causing this, allegedly. And, you know, it's costing the state money rather than bringing in income by letting guys like us three go out and set up a stand in the trees. And
I would offer a devil's advocate. I would offer a devil's advocate reply to that, though. There are less hunters than there were in the past.
You would? You anti-hunting son of a bitch.
I'm just saying, man. It's like there's less hunters. People go out there and hunt so they can stop this crap.
Let's
get it going.
I mean, you're not too right. Like, let's talk about that for a minute, because of COVID, you know, fishing license sales in pretty much every state in the country went through the roof, and it was the same with hunting licenses too. Like, there's a lot of people getting back out in the woods and back out on the water. So, I mean, that's where you may be seeing some of this stuff. So, I mean, again, like we've always said on the podcast, like, we try to educate as much as possible, and, you know, that's that. But, or if you see some guy on the freaking water and he's got 10 smallmouth on a stringer, try not to kill him and just tell him he's an idiot and he kept too many fish.
Shark hooks.
That should go well.
Yeah, shark.
I'm pretty sure everybody that listens to Paddle and Fin will probably want to hurt the guy in some shape or form. You know what I mean? We're all smallmouth fans here. And now I'm not saying I'm not. I'm just, you know, if a guy keeps one, all right, I'm fine with that. Just don't keep a 20 or an 18.
All right, Brad. Keep I see a 14. Your comments. You don't have to troll us, Brad.
Yeah.
Stop trolling.
Brad,
taking me off.
We're on the same team, Brad. Just stop. It'll be okay, Mr. Awkward. We'll go back to talking shit about you.
Say, we'll get Allie on, and then she can explain why you're so awkward.
That poor woman, dude. Show. I don't understand what she sees in him. That poor girl.
I'm just saying, you know, he's so awkward, there's got to be something.
All I got to say is that he must be hung like a horse or something.
That's what I was getting to without saying. I mean, family show, but
I'm
yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
It's got to be something. Hey.
Just saying.
Keep it clean. Keep it clean. There's a 12-year-old that just heard that.
Yeah.
I hope. Well, I'll be honest. It's not the world I grew up at 12. He's heard worse on like ABC.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
I'm just saying. When I was growing up, The Guardian was the thing, and words got turned into other words, and that's what no matter who, what you believed or what was that was out there. Now, all no hands, no bars. It's just whatever you want to be on TV is on TV. So the kid knows. Don't worry.
Now Ryan Dahl, he's got full access. On
Ryan Dahl in the house. What's up, brother?
Ryan's gonna get a nasty email from some parent later tonight.
Yeah,
my kid was listening to that, and he asked me what "hung like a horse" means. Just say it's not you, buddy, and then just call it good. You know,
Wilbur. That's an old one.
Brad says he's cracking up. That's probably because realistically, it's like 3 inches.
Oh man.
All right, enough. We're winding down. It's been like an hour, man. Last thing I wanted to touch on, dude, and you're doing something kind of cool and different, and I wanted to bring it up because I've noticed it. Like on all your Facebook posts and stuff, man, you've been like tagging the podcast with links, your sponsors, stuff like that, and I don't see a ton of people doing that, and I thought it was super cool. It was unique and it was different. So like, what kind of like made you do that? And I'm not saying this in a bad way. I think it's fucking badass that you're doing that, dude.
Yeah. So I just kind of, when I started, like you said earlier, going downhill with the kayak stuff, I started talking, you know, I had a couple of companies I was talking to, and like everything, I'm not a huge fan of like the big pro staffs. There's
Poquito.
Oh man. All right. I'll
call Poquito Hicks.
This has been a great show.
I'm loving it. So I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the pro staffs to where like I'm not gonna name drop any companies, but there's one company out there that me and Brad make fun of all the time, and I'm sure most of us do, to where they have like 40,000 people on their pro staff.
Ooh.
And yeah. Yeah. And I wasn't a huge fan of that because I was like, well, I don't have to do anything to get on it. I just have to buy their stuff and I get a little discount. So like the companies that I either reach out to, like I still can't pronounce their name. I've been with them for like 2.5 years. And I can't pronounce their name, but I say BioEmpower, which it's Bio-Eno. What, Brian? BioEno. Yep. So BioEno Power, I reached out to them and said, hey, you know, I'm starting tournaments, which was 2 years ago. And last year I was fishing a lot more than I have this year, but talked to them. It's like, yeah, I'm looking for a battery sponsor. And they reached back out, sent me a battery, and it's, you know, so I want to make sure I'm posting, you know, show some appreciation for that and help build their brand. Cause you know, I mean, I'm pro staffed on a couple teams, and it's at the end of the day, pro staff means promotional staff, not professional staff. So yep. I think it's like my job, or not duty, but like to help promote the brand and give them a post. I'm not the one to think, hey, I've got this product and I'm going to shove it down your throat every post with my 10% discount code. But if it's something I'm sponsored by or pro staff by, and I believe in the product, I'm going to talk about it. And then there's stuff that I use that I'm not sponsored by or pro staff by, and I talk about that stuff too.
Sure.
So, you know, it's last night on Bass Thumbs. He had the owner of Rogue on.
Yep.
And he was saying the same things about that. I was like, hey, you know, obviously it's promotional staff. You want to promote them, but I'm not a huge fan of shoving stuff down people's throat, and I'm the same way. Like I'm not promoted by Catch at all,
sure.
But they make a great product. And Rogue makes a great product, which now I have because I've lost 2 catch boards in the last year and a half.
I told you I'd send you a tether, bro.
I know you did. I know. And I had it. What's bad is I had a tether on it Saturday.
I know. You just got to make sure you clip it together.
Yeah. I'm an idiot. So I got the Titan, because I posted a picture of my new catch board, and I'm not sponsored by them at all, but they make a superior product, and I'm a big fan of it. There's other things on the market that does the same thing, but just not as good. And underneath that post, you know, the people who support me or help me get product or stuff, yeah, I want to make sure they get a little recognition. Some people aren't huge fans of that, to where they have like all their pro staffs and the bios and whatnot, but I mean, those, they've supported me and they've helped me out, and like Paddle and Finn, I'm proud to be on the podcast. It's dope. It's another, like Brad would laugh when I say it's choice, man. The whole podcast and everyone on it's choice. It's a good group of people that
I think I said when we were at Dale Hollow, I'd only been on, I think I'd been three shows, and then I was hanging out with everyone there. I was hanging out with everybody there, and I was like, man, this is the camaraderie I get from being on it. Yeah, I'm definitely going to support it because it's something I like. I think we do some great stuff, and we have some great info to get out to anglers and hunters. So,
no, for sure. No, it's something cool, and like I said, I've noticed it, you know, quite a bit recently. Like, you know, I always see your stuff pop up in my feed, and I'm like, you know, I should start doing some of that, you know, because it's kind of laid out how we do it in the show notes for all the podcasts and stuff. Like, guys that are watching on Facebook and YouTube right now, like, all our podcast sponsors and links and stuff are in the show notes like that. And then I saw you doing that, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I like that. It's, you know, you're saying, hey, like, I work with these companies without saying, hey, I work with these companies. You know, it's more of like, go check these folks out, and if you like it, great. If not, you know, whatever. But no, I like that aspect, man, that approach. It's, and like I said, it's different. I'm not really seeing anybody else doing it that way, which is super cool, man. It's nice to be the guy making waves. You know,
yeah, I'm just floating down the same river that all of us are. I'm just doing it a little bit different. It's just, I learned it for, it's funny. I learned how to do that from back in watching YouTube stuff back in the day.
Sure.
Before it got super gimmicky and whatnot, which there's still some I watch, but if they were talking about a product, they'd link it, and it would save me time to click the link instead of typing it and all that. And that's like, why I do it. It's just a time saver.
Yeah, it's like tactical bassing, you know, like every episode they link all the baits in the show notes, and like that has saved me a ton of time too. Like,
oh yeah.
Oh dude, I gotta get those, and like I just go like, and I remember right before we went to Dale Hollow, right? Because there's these I always forget who makes them, but the tactical bassing guys, they made this small swim bait head, and I love them, and that's what I was catching all my fish on Dale Hollow, and I needed to reorder. Every spring I go through all my tackle, and I was like, oh shit, like we got Dale Hollow coming up, I'm gonna need those. So I went through and restocked, and I'm like, I couldn't find it to save my life on tackle warehouse. So I went back to the tactical bassing video, and bam, right there in the show notes, found the swim bait heads, and I was like, all right, now we're talking, you know.
Yeah, so. I do it for myself too. Like I'll post stuff, and I'll be like, yeah, I really like this. And then I'll forget about it because my brain just sucks now. I don't remember stuff anymore. And I'll go back to my posts, and I'll be like, ah, oh, I've got a post link. And I'll click it, and I'm like, thank God.
Ryan Dahl hit it on the head. Dirty jigs, guppy heads. Yes, those are them, my man. Those are them 100%. Jimmy's saying I don't need any more tackle. I've actually been good on tackle, dude. I've been pretty calm. I lost all my black blue jackhammers to Northern Pike, so I had to go buy some, and I only bought two, and usually I would buy four or five. So I haven't
got to that point. Like when I worked at Camping World, it used to be Gander Outdoors, when they got rid of all the fun stuff because I was the fishing manager.
Sure,
they put all the fishing stuff 90% off. So I've got tubs. I've got a Pelican cooler, a 70 quart full of plastics. It's just to the top. Like, cause I've run out of room, and I got the big Plano. Like I've got this box. I haven't opened this box in like probably 2 or 3 months. I don't even remember what's in here. Like, and now that I'm looking, I needed some white Kytex on Saturday. So I found them. So,
I found them. You know, thanks. And then I've got, thanks to the podcast.
Yeah. And I got this big old thing behind me, just full of random crap that like, got a bunch of Guggen baits that I need to give Jimmy, and you know, got a bunch of stuff.
Nice.
I mean, it's just, you know, I'm a tackle hoarder, and I'm okay with it. It's better be a tackle hoarder than like addicted to like crack. So
yeah, exactly. I'm the same way, dude. Like you guys have seen the you know, like Jimmy said in the chat, I roll around with a freaking tackle shop, but I've been good at like giving some stuff away and starting to slim down a little bit, just a little bit. But you know, sometimes you gotta do that.
I don't know if you're familiar with the I want to say Depths, but it's not Depths. It's Huddleston.
Oh yeah.
I found a Huddleston in my center console today. I didn't even know it was there. Like, it's just there.
How do you not know a Huddleston's there in your center?
Like I ordered an
nine-inch bait, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a nine-inch.
Like, what are you stuffing bodies in there?
I opened my center console because I was getting my work keys, and I pull them out, and I was like, do I have a fish in here? And I was like, it doesn't smell. And I opened, I was like, oh, yeah, I've been looking for that for, like, a month. Yeah, found it. I found it. It's still there. I didn't grab it because I'm stupid, but it's still there. I'll probably forget it's there, and I won't put it back on, and I'll find it again in 2 months.
So. Oh, man. Yeah. Good stuff, brother. Good stuff, man. We appreciate you hopping on tonight, man. It was super cool to sit down, chat with you. Go ahead, shout out your socials, all that good stuff, man. So the folks that may not know who you are or not follow you can do so.
Yeah, so on Facebook and Instagram, just Matt Souders Fishing. And then every Thursday morning, you can catch me and Brad Hicks on the final cast on the Paddle and Fin Network. We got a last three or four shows at the bare minimum are awesome shows just to catch you back up. But yeah, give that a look. We got some dope stuff coming up.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you guys have been crushing it, man. It's super cool. I know me personally, I was super worried about trying to fill the old trash panda's shoes, and you've slid into that position quite well, my friend, and you guys have been doing awesome, and it's super cool, man. I like what you guys are doing, and you're doing some cool stuff, and I know it's not always tough, like, or it's not always easy to kind of figure out, like, oh, who should we talk to this week or what should we talk about? And it's super cool, man. You guys have been putting out some quality shows for sure.
I appreciate it. I don't think I'll ever fill old Josh's shoes, but I'm filling them best I can. I got some sock stuff in the front, so it makes it look like I am.
You guys are your own separate entities, man. Like, nobody could ever be the trash panda. That is for sure. But it's cool. Mr. Randall, final thoughts?
Great to see you guys.
Shut up.
It's good to see you guys, man. It's a good time, you know. I got to see.
I
got to
get down there.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, we should just all have a meetup.
You know, but yeah,
we should just plan a huge meetup down at Jay's place. We'll advertise it on all the other segments of the podcast, and
let's not let him know. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Just and let me build my garage first.
100 people show up at Jay's house.
It'd be great. Trucks and trailers full of kayaks. Where are we going, man?
Hey, let me. Joke will be on you guys. Parking is at a premium here.
Yeah.
On the side of
Jimmy says, let's take over Jay's house before I cast. I'm game. Yeah, let's do it. Guys, gals, if you jumped in late, you could always go back, rewatch this show on Facebook, YouTube, gets uploaded to the podcast platforms as soon as we jump off here. So it'll be live in the next half hour, 45 minutes or so. And appreciate you guys. Next week is going to be a unique show you're not going to want to miss. Next week is Father's Day. So I got a pretty cool guest lined up. It's going to be a fun show. I'm sure a few swear words are going to slip out in this one. some stories are going to be told. You guys aren't going to want to miss it. We're here every Thursday night, 7 Central, 8 Eastern, 5 o'clock out on the West Coast. As always, boys and girls, deadlines, smooth paddling. Peace. Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. you can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional, for all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.